I appreciate the worship this morning. I appreciate the good spirit of the Lord. I appreciate those that have come to pray. There may be some say, well, preacher, why didn't you go down there and kneel with them? I'll assure you of this. If they got a hold of the one I'm fixing to preach to you about, they found what they stood in need of, and I pray that it be so. There are things that God is doing in our lives all the time, and we just sometimes we fail to look at them and we fail to see. I believe so often in this life and this so much of our country and so many people, they suffer from an identity crisis. They're wondering who they are, or what is their sense of purpose. And everybody's created, I believe, with this hole in their heart or this desire to be accepted and to be loved. And I want to tell you this morning, aren't you glad that He loves us the way He does? I'm so glad. And I grew up in a wonderful home. I was blessed to grow up with a mama and a daddy that loved me. And those of you that grew up that way, you ought to thank the Lord. I never had to wonder, did my mama and my daddy, did they love me? And I never had to wonder, in that little old Baptist church I grew up, did they love me? But I grew up with the strength of knowing that they were people around me that loved me. I never felt out of place. And I've heard so often many of you say that have joined this church that it just feels like home. And there's a place where we're accepted. There's a place where we are loved. And it is in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many people that talk about accepting Christ as their Savior. But I want to tell you it's more than that. We have to be accepted of Him. We have to be drawn of Him and convicted of Him. And thank God when we believe by faith in the sacrifice He made on Calvary, we are accepted of Him. Now, as a little 12-year-old boy, I had no idea what that meant. All I knew is that I needed to be saved and I was lost. But when I got down on my knees in that altar and I began to cry out to the Lord, I knew that somewhere in there my prayer had to be that He washed me clean of my sin and forgive me through the blood that He shed on Calvary. And now through the precious shedding of His blood and by my faith, I'm accepted into the family of God. I want you to know I'm not accepted because of anything I've done. I'm not accepted because I have some great gift to give the Lord. I'm not accepted because I call myself a Baptist. I'm accepted because the blood of Jesus has washed away my sin. Aren't you glad this morning that all of us can be counted in the beloved and be accepted of Christ? But you'll not be accepted except you by faith believe that He shed His blood on Calvary for your sin. Identity crisis. Wondering who can we belong to? And you know, everybody's created that way. There are people that are steeped in sin, and they gather themselves with other people and they form a group and they want to be accepted. And then so often they try to force their beliefs on everybody else. And it's because they want to be accepted. But oh, aren't you glad on Calvary? Brother Jack on Calvary, when he stretched his arms out, the Lord said, I'll tell you, I'm dying for all. I'm dying for ever who so will. That means from what we would call the greatest sinner unto the least of sinners, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God when He died on Calvary, He said, I want you all. Oh, we get into the book of Ephesians and the first chapter, and maybe verse 4 and 5, so many people, they get wound around the axle. They get caught up in these first few verses. Start with verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Aren't you glad we're counted among the blessed? And everything that God has for you, and everything that God has for me, and everything that God has for your family, and everything that God has for the church comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the vine and you're the branches, and without me you can do nothing. But I want you to know, when I got saved, I got grafted into the vine, and now what's flowing through Christ from heaven flows into my life. I've been grafted into the body of Christ. He said, listen, that we should be holy and without blame, or according as He hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His, or the good pleasure of His will. So many people get wrapped around the axle of predestination. I want to word it like this: on the cross, Christ died for everybody. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. He died for ever who so will. Did He foreknow who would accept Him? Yes, He did. And yes, He does. But He gives us that opportunity because He loves us. There are people that are worried about the hows and the whys. Well, how does He do this? I don't care how. That's up to Him. I'm just glad one day, as a 12-year-old boy, He spoke to my heart and saved my soul. Caught up around the axle, and they miss the beautiful part that God has laid on our heart in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. I want you to notice, and this is a thought that God has laid upon our mind, wherewith He had made us accepted in the beloved. If I had a thought one above another this morning, it would be, I'm accepted in the beloved. Oh, this morning, if you've been saved, you've been accepted in the beloved. Not E-X-C-E-P-T-E-D, not accepted or pushed away, but accepted through the blood that Christ shed on Calvary. He said, I'm accepted in the beloved. Listen, in Scripture, we read two or three places where God spoke from heaven and said of Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the beloved only begotten Son of God, and through my faith in the beloved, I've become beloved myself through my faith in Him and what He did on Calvary. Now I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of the King. I've been adopted into the family of God. I'm on the vine, and the love He's got flows through my heart. Is there anybody in the house of God amongst the beloved? Oh, what a love He has for us. Oh, aren't you glad? On the cross of Calvary, not willing that any of us should perish, He died and gave His life so that one day we could say, I'm loved of God. Not accepted because of what I could do. Not accepted because of my gift. Do you realize there are millions of people in this world, they just want to be accepted by somebody. They just want to be accepted by some group. They just want to be accepted and feel like they're in a place where they belong. I'm telling you, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been accepted into the family of God, and you're in the place where you belong, the church of the living God. Hey, I don't have to look for nobody's approval. I don't have to look for somebody to say I'm good enough, or I've done A, B, and C. Thank God, by my faith in Christ and the blood He shed on Calvary, I'm a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. And if God has accepted me, there's nothing you can do or say to unaccept me. It's not in your hands. It's in the hands of God. Word. We say, well, that's awful. We accept people, and God accepts people. We push people away, and God draws people in. Let me tell you this. You want to mess up the plan of salvation? Let man get involved. Let man get his hands on it. Let man add to it. I'm going to tell you, hey, we add to it or take away from it. We're guilty of the plagues that are in the Bible. Hey, we're guilty of the judgment of God. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, there's nothing to add to or take away from. God's plan was perfect when Jesus said, I'll go. When he closed his eyes in death and said, it is finished. My sin was paid for, and not mine alone, but the sin of the whole world. Oh, we choose ourselves groups, people that we fit in with. We accept people based upon how they look on the outside. We accept people based upon whether they think like we do or whether they don't. God don't work that way. Let me tell you about our Heavenly Father. Hey, he don't care what you got on. He don't care. Now let me say this. There's a proper way to dress. There's a proper way to look. But God looks on the inside, not the outside. But I'll tell you this. You get that inside born again and washed in the blood, it'll change what goes on the outside. We're worried about the outside of the cup. We try to clean up the outside of the cup. It's the inside of the cup that's filthy and dirty. Get the inside clean, and the outside will take care of itself. Glory to God and amen. Amen. Accepted in the beloved. Have you thought about, you know what? When we go to God and we pray, we always start with thanksgiving. And I thank God for my family. Anybody else thank God for you? Got one on the way, don't you? Yeah. Hey, darling. We thank God for family. Anybody thank God for your family? Anybody thank God for your church? Well, glory to God. Amen. I thank God for my church. Any of your husbands, thank God for your wife. Amen. Hey, ain't just anybody put up with you. Any wives in here, thank God for your husbands. Yeah, amen. Hey, ain't not another man that loves you like he can if God's the one that put him with you. Oh, and now nobody go, amen, that's okay. That's all right. Hey, listen, you know what, the men, amen, the other part, ladies, you got a little soft there. We thank God for everything. Anybody thank God for the stuff you got, the nice home you got? Anybody thank God for the food on your table? How long has it been since you thank God for what happened on Calvary? We thank God for all these things. And we thank God for all this, our wonderful relationship. And we thank God for all this stuff. But thank God. I tell you what, do the church good for a little while. Just thank him for Calvary. Thank him for what Jesus done. Thank him for the blood that was shed. Thank you on Calvary. My redemption was bought and paid for. And I, who am unworthy, was made worthy by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the cross. Oh, aren't you glad, though? The cross is where our sin was paid for. But the resurrection is where hope comes from. Hey, on the third day they put him in that barred grave of Joseph of Arimathea. On the third day he arose. Thank God, listen, I don't have to stay in my sins and trespasses. And by the way, there's a resurrection still to come. For the Bible said, when he comes in the clouds of glory, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who remain will be changed. Say, you believe that, preacher? If I didn't, I of all men would be most miserable. He said, we're accepted in the blood. In whom? Now listen, that blood, he goes down and begins with a preposition here, in whom. That beloved is not just a group. That beloved is a person. That beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there are a lot of people that want to have favor with God. There are a lot of people that want to know that they're going to have a home in heaven. You cannot have it outside of the shed blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. There are not many ways leading to the same God. There's only one way, and He made that way on Calvary. You say, Lord, that's an old-fashioned message. Oh, we need Calvary preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. He said, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let me tell you something about my Father. He's rich. Oh, you mean He owns the cattle of 1,000 hillsides? Yes, He does. I'm not talking about the stuff. I'm talking about the grace. Thank God for every sin I've committed. His richness buys back my poverty, and I'll never be impoverished because I've trusted in Him. Anybody in here went to the Lord, a poor old sinner boy or a poor old sinner girl? Yeah, if you got saved, you did. I'll guarantee you that. The Bible said, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Boy, that's something we can use, couldn't it? We live in a world that ain't got no common sense anymore. They don't know the difference between a man and a woman anymore. They're 10 different genders and nobody knows. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, male and female, He created them. That's what God said. That's good enough for me. Said, listen, having made known unto us the mystery of His word. You know why people don't have a sense of purpose? I want you to hear me, young people. Turn your ears on right now if you've not been listening. There are a lot of young people that don't feel like they have a purpose in life. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never find your purpose until you yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. You're not a speck of dust being blown by the wind. You have a loving Father that wants to use you. I tell you what, even in our church and in our churches, there are a lot of people that are suffering from an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. You can't know who you are until you know whose you are. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you, hey, you need to seek Him while He may be found. Somebody said, oh, we just need to tell them to accept Jesus. And you know what? There are those that pray that prayer from their heart and they get born again and thank God. But there are a lot that raise their hand and they say, I accept Jesus. And there's no transformation. There's no power that comes into their life. There's no healing that comes into their life. There's no healing and forgiveness that comes into their soul. And they walk out just as lost as they were before they said they accepted Him. I'm not telling you you need to accept Him. I'm telling you, you better be accepted of Him. See, He's not the one that's at fault. He didn't sin. We did. We broke the covenant. And so many of us act like it ought to be God's good pleasure to reach down and save me. I'm going to tell you, He saves us because He loves us. But you better fear Him, because if you don't get saved, one day you'll face His wrath. Oh no, don't you scare my children, preacher. I'm going to tell you something the Bible said, and some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Say, I thought you was a love preacher. I love you, and I'm telling you the truth. Hell is a place you don't want to go. And you know what? If you're in the beloved, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Has anybody got any confidence that what the Lord said is true? Does anybody really believe? Do you really believe you're saved? Do you really, oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Do you really believe you're going to heaven? Well, if you do, praise Him and live like it. Which brings us to our next portion of Scripture. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. When you're lost, the things of God are mystery. I couldn't understand why these old ladies shouted. Lord, I couldn't understand why the old preacher would cry and talk about going home. I couldn't understand any of that. But when I got saved, all that changed. I knew something. You know what? It's not a mystery when you know the one, when you know Jesus. He said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Listen, that in verse 10, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. Here's what I see. I see God up there with his loving arms through the blood of his son on Calvary. What Jesus was doing, he was reaching not to push people away. He was dying with his arms outstretched. Oh God, to reach down to where we are. And I don't care if you're male or female, Jew or Gentile, if you've been saved, we're one in Christ. We're on the same team, going to the same place, serving the same Savior. I don't care if you call yourself a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Methodist. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're as saved as I am. And if you're not, you're lost. Amen. Preach, son. Preach. Bless his little heart. And one day, listen, that he might gather us together. I see God reaching his arms around us, pulling all that'll come to him. But I love the promise in verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Brothers and sisters, this is not the end of it all. Hey, this is not our home. Hey, we're just pilgrims. We're passers-by and passers-through on a place called heaven. And one day after a while, when we leave this world, whether it be by death or whether it be by the coming of the Lord, I'm going to assure you of this, we have an inheritance. The church is not an exclusionary club. Oh. Yeah. Boy, that stunned a lot of people, didn't it? Church ain't no club at all. You realize so many people in the house of God do what they do to try to impress other people. Wonder why they come in and out the doors empty every Sunday. Because they want their works to be seen of men. I'm going to tell you something. You get to that place to where you please the Lord, where pleasing Him matters. I'll promise you this. If you please Him, if you're in a Christian church, truly a group of born-again believers, if you're truly in the beloved, I'll promise you this, it'll work out well with them too. And if it don't, you go find you a place where they love the Lord. Accepted in the beloved. He looked down at my little old pitiful 12-year-old life and said, son, you need me. And he put a feeling in my heart that drew me to him, that caused me to seek and to want him. And I'm telling you, about the moment I truly, truly trusted that what he done on Calvary was sufficient, he saved my soul. We have an inheritance. You know, I love, and I got my son here with me. I thank God I don't have him every Sunday. He's off serving the Lord. My little girl's gone visiting some family. There's nothing like, and I told my wife this, I love Thanksgiving, because at Thanksgiving, the family comes together, and there's nothing like that feeling of unity and being together. Those of us that have, boy, I almost said lost our children, they got married and moved off. And there's that emptiness. I mean, just to be honest with you, you're glad you've done your job. We raised them. Yay. They left. Ouch. But our home is never more complete than when the children come back. So when you come back in the door, it just does something for me in your mama's heart. When we gathered around together, sat around that table, everything feels right. You know why? Because in our little family, we're accepted. And And when you get into a church that truly loves the Lord, you got a place that feels like home. I don't worry about whether you judge me for the way I pronounce a word, or I know you love me. I'm accepted in the beloved. This is not just some gathering of social means. This is a people knit in the heart together. Oh, if I could shout, I'd shout. There are people out there that are looking for what we've got. We ought to thank God for it. Stand to your feet this morning. Are you accepted in the beloved? Do you know you're the Lord's? Do you know you're His? Boy, I tell you why, some of you are looking at me going, yeah, I like that smile. Adam's like, you better believe I know Him. Young people, listen. Acceptance is one of the hardest things. When you get old, like I am, you don't care anymore. Is that wrong to say that? Did that just go out loud? You don't care anymore. You just don't. You know who you are, right? It's called maturity. No, I tell you what. I remember when I was young, I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved. I want to say this. In the house of God, you're loved. And through the blood of Christ, you're accepted. Not a stepchild. God does not cast you out or cast you off. He may withdraw His presence from you until you repent. You are His, and that cannot be undone. Get us a song, Steve, if you don't mind, this morning. Oh, I thank God this morning. You know, ain't a lot of people probably in this old world that don't like me, and that's okay. Sometimes I don't even like myself. That'd been a good place to say amen. But when I really strip away what's going on around me and the situations and the pressures and all the stuff, there's this calm, quiet assurance in my soul that I'm His and that He is mine. And the world or Satan himself cannot mine that away because it's held in the very hands of God. Accepted in the beloved. Oh, I'm glad this morning I'm accepted in the beloved. If you need to pray this morning, Steve, what you got?